CNRE to order here at 8:02. Let the record show we have Representative Newman, Representative Salmon, Representative Ledoux, Co-Chair Olson, and Co-Chair Thomas present today. In front of us, we'll have Senate Bill 171. It'll be presented by Senator Wilkin, and we, let for the information, everybody, we will be adjourning before 9, so we'll go as far as we can. We plan to have the Senator present his bill and then the department, and we'll carry on with public testimony on Thursday, if everything is still scheduled by then. So at this time, Senator Wilkin will, and we'll hold questions till last, so just so that we can go through his whole presentation and then have questions. So if you could write your questions down, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Co-Chairs. Thomas Nolson, thank you for hearing the bill this morning. Members of the committee, thanks for being here bright and early at 8 o'clock for a bill hearing. Your time and attention is appreciated. I'd like to present to you today Senate Bill 171. I'm Gary Wilkin. I represent District E, Fairbanks and Fort Wainwright in the State Senate. Senate Bill 171, in your package, you should have, if I could just walk through what I think you have. You have a bill. You have a sponsor statement, which I won't read into the record because I think we're going to cover most of it today. And in the interest of time, I'll leave it as just part of the written record. You have a sectional analysis of the bill for your review at a later time. Today we're going to have a PowerPoint presentation that'll walk us through it. It's about 26 slides. We pared it down considerably from the Senate side, and we'll make sure we get that done today, explaining the bill and the problems that it solves. Then you have the report that's given to us in the middle of January every year about this impact grant program that summarizes this as required by law every year.
Okay, before we go on, I'll let the record show that Representative Cotter is with us now. Good morning, sir. Very morning. Punctual.
So in a broad overview, and then we'll get down to the details. In a broad overview, Senate Bill 171 attempts to correct two problems that were created in 1980 by an insertion in federal legislation having to do with the leasing of NPRA. Those two problems are, first, the federal legislation put in front of our permanent fund any revenues that come from NPRA, and I'll show you that in a moment. So most people think that money coming from NPRA, 25% goes to our permanent fund. That's not the case, and I'll show you how that happened. Secondly, there's a grant program that was established back in 1980, and you'll see that the revenue stream from NPRA is just beginning to flow. So now the lack of attention to the grant program in 1980 is starting to show that we need to make some changes. And this bill revolves around trying to fix those two problems, one with a priority that steps in front of the permanent fund, and two, how to get some objectivity to this grant program and spread the wealth of NPRA across Alaska and not just one area of the state. This bill revolves around a statement made by Judge Carpinetti in 1986, which we'll see here in a moment, and we'll turn to the PowerPoint program. He says the duty imposed by the federal government, I'll insert, in 1980, ultimately falls on the Alaska legislature, and we'll show you where that statement came from. Let's talk first about the permanent fund issue. In 1980, for whatever reasons, there was a priority placed in front of our permanent fund. And this is what you saw. We sent hundreds of thousands of these in January for the permanent fund to tout our permanent fund as we should. And it's hard to see on the screen, but on your packet there, this is Article 9, Section 15 of our Constitution, which we all know. At least 25% of all rents, royalties, lease payments, such and such and such, shall be deposited into the principal of a permanent fund. Well, I inserted, for this to be correct, as it is today, we really need to insert the words, except those from NPRA. because MPRA, clearly, the revenue gets intercepted by a certain community of our state before it reaches our permanent fund and reaches our legacy. Should be troubling. It's a little known fact that's been hidden, and now it's coming to the front because there's suddenly, over the last few years, revenue coming from NPRA. As I said, this was inserted in 1980, and since 1980, we've had $167.6 million has come from NPRA, but to date, only 15% has been deposited in the permanent fund. So the question is, where'd the money go? These two squares here. This is the program from 1983 to 2006. This is the program from 2000 to 2006. Let's turn first to 1983. You can see that we've received $167.6 million, and it's been distributed by this pie. The community grants, which is the second part of this bill, the problem, $100 million has gone to the North Slope Borough, about 59% of the revenues. The general fund has, let's go with the permanent fund. The permanent fund has gotten 15%, 25.7. PCE has benefited from this, 21.4. And the general fund has benefited $20 million out of $167 million. That's for that 23-year period. We'll see in a moment how the revenue has ramped up, but let's turn now to the 6 years since in this century. We'll see here that we've received $112.4 million. I should stop. Remember now, NPRA money is half federal, half state. It's not 90-10, it's half and half. So our half is the 112.4 and all from lease payments. That's been distributed this way. 75% of it, has $83.6 million, has gone to the North Slope Borough through the grant program. PCE has benefited $21.4 million, about 19% of it. The permanent fund has gotten $7 million out of 112, 6%. Our Constitution says 25%. Clearly, we're in violation of our Constitution by federal law that was inserted in 1980. Those that think that the general fund is going to benefit from NPRA are wrong. You can see here not a nickel from NPRA has gotten to the general fund in this century. So the answer is the money went, 75% of it went to the North Slope, a little bit to the permanent fund, a little bit to PCE, zero, the general fund. And this isn't chump change. I put this in here to try to illustrate and for us to understand this is big money. If you took last year's appropriation, this is funneled through to the North Slope Borough, through the department in the capital budget. There's a single paragraph that just says, money shall be appropriated. The projects aren't listed, which is a whole other issue. But it's this paragraph last year put out $24.7 million in grant funds. If you'd awarded that on a per-person basis of $4,400, that's $24 million divided by 5,500 people on the North Slope, $4,400. Anchorage would get a check for $1.2 billion. My town would get $380 million. Northwest Arctic Borough, $32 million. Bethel would get $26 million. And Sitka, almost $40 million. So this isn't chump change. This is big money. And wouldn't all of our communities like to have grants such as that? This is an interesting slide that just gives you a little history. 1980, of course, is out here. And you can see here, this was the reconstitution of the NPRA grant fund by the lawsuit, which we'll see in a moment. But things lay fallow here for a while, and then this is when the lease payments started coming in. And these are all lease payments. This is the expectation of production in 08. That is, so the next fiscal year, when we're here next year, we should have about $50 million in NPRA grant funds to distribute. This year, we're at about five, I think it is. Last year was at $24 million. That's the number we saw before. So you can see why this has been off the radar screen, because nothing's really happened at NPRA until it started to come up here. NPRA is expected to be another mega giant oil field, could hold 10 billion barrels. We're talking about fields in this in the realm of Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk. And so this is expected to climb to hundreds and two-hundreds of millions of dollars as NPRA marches on. That's why it's important that we fix this problem today. Where is NPRA? I put a map in here, but in this room, it's even better to look right up there. That's a beautiful map. This is NPRA. And that's far better. It's about the size of Indiana. And if you'll turn your attention back to the screen here, this gives you a sense of the oil and gas development on the North Slope. This brown here is that brown up there. And you can see here, this is the beginning of development in NPRA. It's right on. This is Alpine, Tarn, and those. This is right on the edge of NPRA. There's the village of Nowitzit right there. And here's, of course, here's Anwar, this 1002 area. Here's the pipeline, Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk. That gives you just a sense of where oil and gas development. And remember, NPRA development, this bill revolves around development within NPRA, not Prudhoe Bay, not Kuparuk, not Anwar. This is NPRA development. Here's the communities with NPRA. I won't go through all the details, but just so you know, there's the city of Barrow, of course, here. City of Wainwright, here. Nowitzit is right here, and that's that little area where Alpine is right here. Akasuk is right here. So those are the four communities and a borough that have benefited by the monies from NPRA. And it's helpful because the issue of, we're going to talk later about impact, it's helpful to consider the geography here. You can see here, these distances are the distance from oil and gas activity. Wainwright over here is 220 miles. Barrow is 160 miles. Nowitzit, 8 miles. Akasuk, 160 miles. So clearly, Nowitzit is in the bullseye. The others are at least 160 miles away from development and NPRA. And that's important when we talk later about the word, the simple word impact. A little history, if I could. It was developed back in 1923. President Harding, everybody saw oil laying on the ground, and he set aside NPRA as petroleum reserve for the Navy. In 1980, the Congress authorized competitive leases, and the new history for Alaska in regard to NPRA began. The language is inserted for impact, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. That's where the 50-50 was set up, which is unique in federal law at the time. In that federal law, there was a priority use given to, and we'll see the language here in the law in a moment, but the priority use of NPRA funds by the communities most directly or severely impacted by development of oil and gas within NPRA. So that law came to the states, and without a law on the books, the legislature did what they thought. They protected the permanent fund, and they deposited the rest into the general fund. The North Slope Borough didn't like that, and so in 1985 they sued, and Judge Carpinetti in 1986 came down with a decision that said automatic deposits into the permanent fund violate the federal law. He said that the state of Alaska has a mandatory duty to address NPRA development-related impact needs. Because of the primacy federal law trumping our state constitution. And the duty imposed by the federal government ultimately falls on the Alaska legislature. And that's what Senate Bill 171 attempts to do. Let's leave the permanent fund issue for the moment, and it's just as a question that needs to be answered. Let's turn now to the issue of impact. This is the grant program, and just in brief, every year, the impacted communities submit through the Department of Commerce and Economic Development requests for impact grants. Those are listed in here, and these go back for many years. You can see grants that have been funded. This is the current status. They submit those, and they come to the department, and some folks, some of which are in the room today, take those and they grade them. They decide what the impacts are, they decide how much they're going to fund, which ones they're going to fund. So we can walk through here, and we'll have a change in this as we get further in. the Department of the Interior, the feds notify us how much money we have to divvy up. Last year, 32-some million dollars. This year, six. And it goes up and down, of course, depending on lease sales for the moment. The first thing that happens is the department goes out to the borough and requests notifications and tell them the money is available. The MPRA community then comes back with the request. The department goes through and evaluates and recommends proposal. And the commissioner then gives to the legislature in the capital budget the request to fund. And then the legislature funds it, and it goes back to the department for distribution. So the only place the legislature involved in this is at the capital budget level. It's helpful as we march on here to look at the law. It's very clear. This is the stack of law that controls distribution. Here's the federal law, quoted verbatim. I put in the emphasis. This is federal law. State shall give priority to use by subdivisions of the state most directly or severely impacted by the development of oil and gas leased in MPRA. Doesn't say Prudhoe Bay, doesn't say Kaparuk, doesn't say Anwar, doesn't say anything. It says leased in NPRA. State law follows on 1986. A municipality may use the MPRA funds only for services to alleviate the impact, there's that word again, of oil and gas development with MPRA. And Alaska regs to implement this, impact means an effect reasonably attributable to NPRA oil and gas activities under federal law. So that's the stack of law that controls this issue that as we as a legislature and we as Alaskans follow the federal mandate. So let's turn our attention to the word impact. In Senate Bill 171, impact is the threshold across which one must pass in order to be considered for any sort of funding. But that's not the way it's been handled in our state government and creates part of the confusion that we have. You can see here that in 2000, out of 100 points, impact was 50 points. In 2002, impact was down to 30 points. 2004 criteria, 25 points. And in 2005, it went back up to 45 points. So you get certain points for description, severity of impact, if you have a budget, if it's sustainable, and if you have the capability to maintain the grant. So the purpose of this is just to show that this impact is the threshold. This is, if you don't have impact, you don't stand for an award. But in the past, through no fault of anyone, because there's been no guidance given by the legislature, impact has been, for the want of a better word, footballed around and used however happens to fit into the criteria for the last four decision processes. This bill puts in place the word impact and a way to define it. Let me show you a couple of things. And in respect to my friend from Nome and the senator from the representatives area, I've been careful not to go back and point fingers. But you have to have, I made a commitment, an offer on the Senate floor. If people think that this grant program has been treated correctly, come to my office. I'll give you a book. You go through the book, and if you think that those projects that have been funded have, many of them have anything to do with impact in MPRA, then that's your opinion. But I'm not going to sit here and talk about some of the things that have happened in the past. But I want to give you a flavor, and here's two. And these are by no means the only two. Last year, in 06, we were asked to fund a $525,000 Lagoon boat launch. And so in the application, it said impact on population. Construction of oil production infrastructure and pipeline has driven up the growth of population. But that's not true. Over that number of years, the population of Wainwright's gone from 492 to 546. Social and cultural values. The social disruption prompted by oil and gas affects many traditional activities. Wainwright's 220 miles away from development MPRA. Here's $63,000 to renovate a barrel roller rink. Impact on social and cultural values. decline in subsistence resources due to MPRA oil and gas negatively impacts the Inupiat culture. Studies currently undertaken to determine the impact of wildlife in Itubero residents 160 miles from Alpine. There's no study that shows that there's any impact to that. So I would discount that. Unemployment, impact on unemployment. As economic benefits of oil and gas development begin to decline, it leaves members less able to survive. The decline of oil and gas development MPRA is not an MPRA. This development is just starting, and we look to it for the next 20 or 30 years to be a provider for our state. So it doesn't have any effect on impact, and I would just respectfully suggest that it has no impact on the borough. There are other concerns, and the bill attempts to fix them. Grants have been funded as capital projects with no lapse date, but most of the grants are for operating expenses, which we all know here have a one-year, unless extended, have a one-year shelf life. But the appropriations, even though they're operating, go on and on and on. There's very little accountability. New grants awarded before previous grants for the same purpose. Two pending grants of $439,000 were still open, but in 07 there was another grant awarded to just pile on top of the $439,000. The two grants before hadn't been used yet. Awards are not based on successful completion. There was a cultural center in Nuitsit that was approved in the year 2000 to be built. In the year 2002, there was $300,000+ for operation of the cultural center. To this day, there hasn't been a foundation dug. So, again, there's no accountability. There's no follow-up on how this money is being spent. Positive impacts as a result of oil and gas activities are not considered. People in Nuitsik are going to have free natural gas here soon. I found the irony last night while you folks on the House floor were struggling with PCE to sit and know that on September 4th of this year, the village of Nuitsit was paying $1 for diesel, $1.50 if you wanted it delivered, and $2.79 for gas when I was paying $3.39 at Fred Meyer in Fairbanks. So we have to look not only it provides jobs, it provides an income, it provides an ability for somebody to live in their own house and go to work like they do at Red Dog. There's all sorts of positive benefits, but those aren't taken into account in the current system. So now is time for the change, this is what Judge Carpinetti said in his Superior Court decision in March 18th of 1986. The duty imposed by the federal government, this is very important, ultimately falls on the Alaska legislature, and it includes the duties to examine the claimed needs of the subdivisions arising from oil and gas development impacts, to evaluate them, and if the claimed needs are found to exist, to rate them in order of priority and meet them out of MPRA revenues. I added the underlines, but that's what Judge Carpinetti told us to do in 1986. It was unchallenged, was not appealed, and so it resides with us today. So Senate Bill 171 sets up a special legislative impact review committee. It's three members from Senate Finance and three members from the House Finance. Has to be one member from each minority. Very much structured around a conference committee, and a majority from each body is necessary to approve a grant request. So you need two votes on each side in order to approve a grant request. There's travel requirements, there's knowledge requirements to make sure that this committee has an understanding of the needs and the need to have impacts mitigated, but we won't go into those today. Essentially, we set up conference committee structure, and this is the change. The feds still notify us of money. It goes to the department, still go out. The department goes out, talks to the communities, and says, we have this much. The requests come back. They organize and verify the requests are complete. They give it to the special legislative committee. They do their work in the legislative session. The committee then recommends to the legislature through the finance committees their recommendations, the finance committees, and of course the bodies on the floor make the final decision, and it goes back. So the difference is and now the legislature has inserted itself with six members, one of which, two majority from each side, one minority from each side, and there has to be one person from the district that represents the North Slope Borough and NPRA on the committee, and there's a mechanism to do that if one isn't on a finance committee. So it's very much structured for knowledge, objectivity, and accountability. And I just want to go back to the word impact. Senate Bill 171 recognizes that impact is the first criteria. If you're not impacted, if you're not a municipality, if you're not impacted, if it's not reasonably attributable to oil and gas development in NPRA, then the application is rejected. If it is, then you can move on and talk about descriptions, budgets, sustainabilities, and capabilities. So 171 clearly recognizes that you have to pass the bar of impact before you move to further for validity of your funding request. What are the advantages? Some have said, why do you go through all this process in order to do the grants? Just do them as we've done them. Well, the system's broken today, and it's no fault. It's legislature's fault because we haven't taken the time to give the department any direction. The current process, and we have to remember, this is the only program in state government that gets in front of our permanent fund. And every one of us could stand up, could be held accountable anytime. People say, how do you let that happen? Why? Because there is no answer today, because the federal government told us to. That's the answer today. So we have to take extraordinary measures. We have to be extra careful to follow the federal law. That's why the structure is being put in place. That's why it has a fiscal note. The current process is made up of state employees. It's closed. They do their meetings sometime. There's no public input. Decisions are private. I'm not pointing fingers. It's just the way the system is. And they're not accountable to anybody. They're accountable to their boss. They're doing what we told them to do by not giving them any structure. 171 is elected officials, six people elected across the state. It's open. It'll be done in open meetings. It'll be public decisions. We'll be accountable to the people that put us here. It'll go through the special legislative committee filter. It'll go through the capital budget filter. It'll go through the floor filter. And it'll go to a governor's veto. Four places that it gets stopped along the way for review in public. That's terribly important. Because this, again, gets in front of the permanent fund. The wealth of NPRA shouldn't be focused on one place in Alaska. We should follow federal law and have federal and then have the wealth of NPRA spread across the rest of Alaska. In review now. The NPRA revenue comes in and it goes to grants. As you can see here, the first stop along the way in the revenue stream is the NPRA impact grant. And that's just what federal law says to us. Now, some would suggest, well, this is a politically driven group. And we are going to, this group will get together and we will short the impacts and not define them properly and not give the impacted communities their just due. Because we want to have more money for the permanent fund or more money for the general fund or for our areas. Well, you know, that's the way this system works around here. And we are accountable to the people that put us here. But more importantly, remember the graph, the chart that was the stack of laws, federal, state, regulations? That's what we work under here. We work within that structure of those laws and regulations. That's our duty. We raised our hand to do that. So if the committee has gone sideways and is being punitive or subjected to the point of violating the law, we operate like that every day in this building. So the committee decides where the money's going to go here. The next step then is to comply with our Constitution. 25% goes to the permanent fund, 0.5% to the school trust. Today, the 25% is taken off the net. Money comes to the state, goes to the grants. What's left over, we take 25% of that, goes to the permanent fund. That's why the permanent fund's only gotten 15% in 23 years instead of 25. And if there's no money left here, it's zero. That's why the permanent fund hasn't gotten a nickel in this century. So we work off of this net product. The current law works off of this net number. Senate Bill 171 says, no, we're going to work off of this number up here. We're going to take 25% of that number and put it to the permanent fund, just like our Constitution says we will. So the first thing we do is we draw down the bucket with the impacts, and then we have this, let's call it a debt, of 25%. We're going to take 25% out of what's left to go to the permanent fund. So that's step number two right there. Well, sometimes, like this year, there's not going to be enough money left over from the grants to satisfy that 25% requirement. So the third step along the way is that we'll look back and we'll say, have we satisfied our requirement with the effective date of this law? Have we satisfied our requirement from prior years to keep our Constitution? If we have, move on. If we haven't, we have to go back and satisfy that. In some ways, like the CBR law that we have. So if we have money left over, after we paid the grants, after we've satisfied our constitutional requirement of 25% from Article 9, Section 15, if we have a debt left over, we satisfy that, then the next is available for power cost equalization appropriation, and the next step is to the general fund. And that's the new revenue flow under Senate Bill 171. The new committee plays right here. And they follow the stack of laws that pertain that are given to us as a result of the 1980 federal legislation. So, in closing and in summary, Senate Bill 171 is a method to fairly allocate the financial benefits of NPRA to all Alaskans, while at the same time mitigate the direct impact of development on certain communities as required by federal law. And with that, I thank you for your attention, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Co-chair.
Thank you, Senator. Questions? Representative Ledoux.
Under this scenario, Senate Bill 171, what percentage of the NPRA funds do you think would end up being allocated to the North Slope Borough as compared to the percentage that is now? In other words, how much would they lose?
Yeah. And through the chair, Representative Ledoux, it's hard to tell that because the way the system works today, in my opinion, is that the money comes in. Let's take last year as probably a really good example. Last year, $32 million was available. There was $54 million in requests. The calculation was made, in my opinion, what do we need for PCE? What do we need for the remainder? What do we need for PCE? And we can approve the rest of them in grants. So it was built backwards to what you had available. There was no consideration for the impact of the projects themselves. This year, $5.5 million, I think, is something like that. So we're going to, as it is today, we're somewhere around $4 million that can be allocated. But your question goes to the heart of it, heart of the issue. And what does it cost to alleviate impact of NPRA development? And that question isn't answered today. And instead, we build backwards on what's available, and we fund up to a certain amount that's calculated by somebody. And that's how we get to the point. So you just don't have any way to tell without some sort of an objective evaluation.
Thank you.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Wilkins, you've pointed out a need to revisit the dispersal methods here, and I got to tell you, this brings the first thing I thought of was, it reminds me of a Garrison Keillor. I don't know that it was a joke or a real statement that it pays if you love what nobody else wants. And I've always thought that was really important in my life. It's probably why I keep an old car and a small house, because if you love something that somebody else wants, if they're more powerful than you are, they're going to get it. The dispersal of this, the power that actually decides that in the points that you're making here really are key, and it is very possible that and you certainly make the case that it's really necessary to look at the dispersal methods. Why doesn't this bill really open up a process of really looking at those methods and really doing an analysis? Because the immediate conclusion is to have the people who study it, the very people who are going to have lots of ways of wanting to spend it and needing to spend it. And so it's highly, finance committee members are looking for money because they know all of the wants that there are throughout the state. And just by the nature of the fact that there's a given number of people on each finance committee, their hunger is always going to be greater for their own area. So they're biased, real heavy bias. Did you think about other ways of looking at or having a hearing or having a group of hearings to look at methods of dispersal of this NPRA money?
Co-chair, and I think Garrison Keillor was talking about his local junkyard dealer. That was his story. We've talked about all sorts of ways to do this, and this is a bit cumbersome, but it is as public and as accountable as I can think of how to do it. I don't know how else. And whether you're talking about fairness in NPRA or you're talking about a capital budget or an operating budget as we spread money across the state, there's always that tension between us to get the things that we think we need to take home for whatever reason. That happens hourly here in this building. And this is no different. Except there's this step along the road. That's unique, where you have to stop and say a certain area of our state is impacted by something. To mitigate that impact, there are funds available. And are the requests to mitigate logical, sustainable? And we'll go through those questions as they do today and decide. And then people may or may not argue with those decisions, but those decisions have to stand up to the stack of laws that I showed you. You have to follow the law. And if people think they're aggrieved, then they can sue. But six people are going to get together and four of them are going to decide on this very unique situation what impact is.
Representative Sista.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Wilkins, there have been studies about impacted communities in development, and one of them was done here in Alaska, and I really haven't seen it. I haven't looked at a copy of that for a long time. But what it really, the finding was that local communities tend not to be adequately mitigated for the impacts that they suffer, and so that is a fact. I think at least in my own experience in this building, I've watched the slow movement from the devolution that the that was occurring from government out to communities and giving more more emphasis and funding to local communities to spend monies made from the various revenue streams that, that government gets. But we've moved back again from that. We're slowly pulling back from any kind of revenue sharing and that kind of thing. We've really done that about face. And we as a legislature are the ones that have done it. I just would really like to know from your point of view, why public hearings? Why not make this a much bigger conversation so that, I mean, you said essentially you've ruled out reasons that are given for maybe the expenditures in the local area. But that ruling out needs to be done on a much bigger scale if we're to really change the way we're doing it. Why not have a much larger arena for really discussing this?
Mr. Chair, an assistant of the process is to come up with an idea and develop it, and we walk our way through these committees. And if you have some thoughts on how to make this more accountable, more public, and more manageable, I'll be more than happy to help you with that. As a member of this committee, I've done the best I can to come up with what I consider to be a accountable, manageable public group to decide what impact is, and then spread the wealth of NPRA across the rest of the state. That's the purpose of this bill. But if you have some ideas, I'm in the building, so let me know.
Thank you.
Questions? Representative Olson?
I'm still working on this one, but the question of accountability, I think, is the key issue here. Would you agree to that?
I think it's Chair Co-Chair Olson. Yeah, I do.
I've only been down here 5 years, two as a legislator and three as staff, but I think I've seen every community in the state come in and ask for good projects, bad projects, things that they really need, things that they'd like. I would think that the impacted villages would have the same opportunity to do that as anybody else, but it would appear that the problem with accountability would lay at DCCED's doorstep rather than the impacted villages, where they have not had the oversight possibly that we should have had all the way along. But that's not the problem of the impacted villages or anybody else that comes to us to look for money, is it?
But Charles, I'm not quite sure of your question. Say, help me a bit. What are you asking?
The impacted villages, the North Slope Borough, are doing everything that every other community in the state has done.
Oh.
They've got a pie that they can get to a little bit faster. But the problem is not that they have been asking for it or receiving it. The problem appears to be the lack of oversight by one of our agencies.
Yes, but Charles, yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, it's nobody's fault. People say, well, you're beating up on the bureaucracy. Not at all. I mean, they're doing what we asked them to do by not asking them to do anything. There's some folks that have been thrown into this, and they're doing the best they can to make the system work, because we haven't followed up on what Judge Carpenter told us to do. And so, I mean, this is unique in that a certain area of our state has a pot of money that just happens to be sitting there, and they can go access it, and shoot, my town would do the same thing if they could.
I guess what I'm leading into is the impacted villages are playing with the hand that they were dealt in 1980.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is all above board. And again, remember the chart showing the impact, how the funds are now starting to flow, and how that's going to ramp up, not at a 20-degree angle, it's going to go up at about 45 degrees. That's imperative. That's why we have to do this today, to fix it before the money gets so big that it just overwhelms us.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair. Senator, I know you're a person who certainly isn't afraid to ask a question. When you went, following up on Representative Olson's question, I'm sure you've asked the folks at DCCED, why is this going on, and why are you allowing this? You know, if we've got this in place, there should be a certain amount of accountability there. What was their response?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, I guess I'll paraphrase their response. Well, what else would you like us to do? I mean, we hand them the grants and say, look at the grants and decide what's impact. And, and they look at it, and they're three good-hearted people that don't have a sense. They're not accountable. They're accountable to their boss. They look at it, and they don't know the North Slope. They're looking at it and saying, well, it looks good. Yeah, it's a yes. Because, Representative Newman, there is no structure. There's some grading sheets, but as you saw on one of the slides, those criteria move around. It's very loose, and I think it's loose because nobody's drawn any sort of rules by which they under which they operate.
Just a follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. I go back to slide 19, where you had the cultural center. They're getting operating grants, but the building's never been built. You know, I wonder how that can be. How do you do that? I mean, somebody somewhere should be accountable for that, and I know that you've talked to them folks, but and I know that when you asked some folks, you said that they said, well, what do you want us to do? I would certainly say, don't be approving grants for buildings that aren't there. But, your comment?
Through the chair, that's why we have Senate Bill 171, to bring accountability and public decisions and fairness to the federal legislation.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Representative Ledoux.
Oh, I was just wondering if a significant part of the problem is that when DCED considers these grants, that they're not giving enough weight to the impact, rather than restructure the entire system, whether it might be simpler to simply state in law that DCED is required to consider impact as the very top priority, allocating it a certain number of points. Sure. And maybe a lot of the problem that you've gone over right now could be eliminated.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, and I you're exactly right, except we don't have the accountability piece in there. And we have to have that because, without fear of repeating myself, this is the only program we've got that steps in front of our permanent fund. This steps in front of your kids and your grandkids' future. Our legacy, our Constitution says, doesn't say may, doesn't say accept NPRA. It says shall be deposited. And this program dips into that revenue stream before the permanent fund. I submit to you that then requires us to put the scrutiny of this program at a much higher level, and hence the committee that is elected officials, public, and accountable. So you're right up to the point where you say, yeah, but this is something that affects the permanent fund. Then I think we move to another discussion about an increased level of accountability.
Representative Ledoux.
But it almost seems, and I don't want to be putting words in your mouth, but that when you talk about the reason for this is because it steps in front of the permanent fund, that you're almost assuming that if we did it this way, that there wouldn't be enough grants that would be going to the North Slope borough under this new criteria, and therefore, the North Slope borough would necessarily be getting less money, and money would be going to other parts of the state in the permanent fund. And I guess I'm just sort of wondering about that.
To the chair, I take us back to the stack of laws that we have to follow. We have to follow those laws, just as we do in everything we do in this building. And this committee would be no different. Take care of the impact. Make sure they're valid. Make sure you're accountable for your decisions. And then the rest of the money flows to the rest of the state.
Thank you.
Other questions? Woody?
I have one question.
Representative Salmon.
Okay. The question is, you had an area where you had a PCE in one of your slides there. And I noticed last week sometime that was kind of taken out on the Senate side. And that's kind of bothers me. I mean, you say you support it here, but on the other side, it's not supported. I mean, it seemed like there's a double dribbling here. So I just kind of want to make that statement.
Am I guilty of double dribbling?
It was rumored you did one time. I have a question for you, Senator. Then after that, I'll make some comments and requests of the appointment because we're going to be running out of time. But I had given your staff a bill that I'd found and actually came through transportation where the University of Alaska is also in line for potential impact aid through the NPRA. Is it your desire, your request that any impact aid to NPRA to the university would be treated the same? 25% to the general fund, 5% for education. Then, if the bill passes, we know that it's in its infancy. Yeah. But,
Co-chair Thomas, I'm not real familiar with the details, but I understand that there's a section down in the southwest corner, southeast corner of NPRA that they're talking about setting aside for the revenues out of that would go to the university. I don't know the split. I'm not sure impact flows into that discussion. And that's a federal bill now, as we understand it in our office, languishing. But that's a revenue stream out of a certain tract in NPRA, and I'm not sure the strings that are tied to that.
Good mind. The next one, just a comment. I always thought that Fairbanks is probably the most impacted community from oil development in the state of Alaska, yet I don't see you fighting for Fairbanks I think you should have been probably compensated from day one. But I have some questions, if you don't mind it, that I'm going to ask the department to address and while you're sitting here, and they can come to us on Thursday. The senator is referring to that this is the only impact aid monies, and I hate to bring it up, but Tonga's forest receipts isn't a direct impact aid grant process, and I believe it's been in the hundreds of millions of dollars, but have they been, and then this is you can maybe find out exactly what it is, because I've had real trouble with the impact monies because I always, I represent probably 70% of the impacted area that's logging's occurred on, yet Ketchikan, Juneau, Sitka receive more money than my communities do because they have boroughs, which is, and I have no problems with boroughs. Haines is one, we get some money out of there. But the impacts are actually on Prince of Wales Island, in which they have been for 30 years, and they get a small amount of money compared to what has happened here. And when they shut the Tongass down, those of us in the southeast remember that majority of the actual major impact aid money went to Ketchikan, Wrangell, and I'm not sure what other communities. So if you can come back, let us know what those were and why we didn't take any money out for the permanent fund then, if they were going to be consistent. The other one is if you can provide the committee with the total capital, the monies, general fund monies that the North Slope Borough has gotten since, and I'm only going to go back 6 years. I think we'd beat a dead horse if we go back too far, unless you have the information, from 2000 to 2006. And the final question I'm going to ask, can the department fix it by in-house without us having to go through this, and if you have recommendations to bring it to the committee, and if we can do that for us by Thursday, we'll have the department up on Thursday. And I'd like to apologize and also let you know that we had about 20 people online that were listening and ready to answer questions, but we're not to that point yet. Is there any other requests from the committee before we take a break or an adjourn here?
No, I think we ought to apologize to Senator Wilkin, though we didn't realize we only had an hour this morning. We thought we had given you two. And
I appreciate the hearing. We'll be more happy to come back on Thursday. And we have some data on forest receipts, and we have some data on past capital expenditures. Okay. And the the draw the North Slope Borough makes on 4356 properties. If that's all right, we'll supply you with what we have.
Sure.
And you can cross-reference that with the department and see if we're talking the same language.
Sure, I appreciate that.
So we'll do that. And I thank you for your time this morning, everybody.
And I thank everybody for showing up. And again, we'll start with the department on Thursday, and then the mayor from the North Slope Borough and the mayors from the borough area, and anybody else that want to testify. Or,
so it will be open to the public as well on
Thursday? If we get that far. Right now, you know, with what happened, we don't know what we're going to do on Thursday. We might have only another hour, but we do plan to start at 8 o'clock Thursday morning with that. Oh, when you get here, Pete. So this time we'll adjourn till Thursday.
Thank you, Bill.